Well, hello everyone, this is Hal.
And this is Melanie.
And we want to welcome you to another episode of Making Biblical Family Life Practical. And it is Memorial Day, which is officially, everybody's mind, the start of summer.
Yeah, Memorial Day is way more than that.
It is.
You know, it originally came about as a time that people go and decorate the graves of people who gave their lives to protect our freedom in our country.
You know, I was just reading about that today, that it was originally it was called Decoration Day, and it started in the South. And when the first flowers came out in the gardens, the ladies of the South used to go out and decorate the cemeteries that held the Civil War dead. And they felt sorry for those soldiers from up north who had no family nearby. So they decorated the northern soldiers' graves as well as the southern soldiers. And the idea caught on across the country. And one of the leaders of one of the northern veterans associations suggested they choose a standard date since the flowers were becoming ready at different parts of the year at different times. And so they chose that late May date because even in Vermont and New Hampshire, the flowers are blooming then. And so here we are. We have Memorial Day. And for all of you who have served, and especially for those of you who have lost service members, we do want to say thank you and pray that God blesses you all and blesses their memory as well. But the other part of this, besides the celebration and the remembrance of our valiant soldiers, is the fact that this is the time when people start making their plans for the summer.
Yes, it is the beginning of summer, and yeah, which has got to be one of my favorite seasons, Hal.
Mm-hmm.
I know I live in the South; it's hot. I'm not a fan of being uncomfortable. I love my air conditioning.
Right.
But there's just something about green and the flowers and the everything just being alive that I just really love.
I do too, and you know, that's fine. You know, we're rejoicing in the world that God's created, and that God has blessed us with the change of seasons, and it's something we can take joy in every year. Now, part of that, you know, as the heat goes up, we all tend to gravitate toward the poolside, to the lake, off to the beach if we're nearby.
You know, I love going to the lake in the summer. That's one of my favorite things to do. You know, we have this, it's not much more than a fish camp, but it's dear to us.
Mm-hmm.
With a hammock and a dock, and children swim and kayak and boat, and I want to just swing in the hammock. And I think that's my favorite place to write our books now.
Yeah, it's a very peaceful place. You know, we spent some time there as newlyweds, and really for our whole life, that's been a special place for us.
Happy memories.
There it is. Well,
but, you know, once we started having children, I was concerned because, you know, it's dark water. You know,
these are not clear mountain streams. We're talking about lowland, southern.
No, but the water's clean. But
with the
clay underneath, you know, you just can't see through it.
No.
And I was always worried that, you know, a child might get out and drown. So we've developed some rules and ways of managing that in our house that have kept everybody safe for now over 20 years.
Yeah, and so we wanted to share some of those. And we're going to be sharing a lot of practical ideas, not just about water safety, but other issues related to the summer, including one that you probably haven't heard about or haven't thought much about, because we haven't until recently either. But, you know, on the water thing, it struck me some years ago. We read a story of it was a church picnic in the area, not too far from where we are, where the picnic was held on the banks of a small river, and a child got into trouble out in the water, and an adult rushed out to rescue the child and got in trouble and ended up with several people drowned or in serious condition because almost nobody in the group knew how to swim, grown-ups or children.
Boy, you know, I think swimming's a life skill. I think it's one of those things that you just never know when you're going to need to swim because you may think, oh, we can't afford to go to the beach or the lake. But, you know, you can drown in a creek, you know, by your house. You can drown falling into a pool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just never know where you're going to need to swim. But it's been a rule in our house that you have to learn how to swim. That's not an optional.
And we're not talking about becoming an Olympic competitor.
No.
I mean, if you have an opportunity and you want to do that, fine. It's athletic. But just as a simple life-preserving skill, to be able to basically to save yourself if you fall off the dock. You know, if your boat capsizes, do you sink immediately to the bottom and are lost to the world, or do you know how to hang on, wait for rescue?
It terrified me. We were at a water park about a year ago, and there was a mom there with her children, and you know they were in the wave pool and fell off and nearly drowned, and I just think that shouldn't happen. You shouldn't be in the water. You shouldn't be anywhere near the water if you can't see them.
Well, and I have been in some of those wave pools, and frankly, if the water were that rough in the ocean, I wouldn't be out there.
Yeah, they can be pretty forceful.
They can. So don't sell those short because it's an amusement park.
That's right. You know, I've been a swimmer all my life since I was very little.
Mm-hmm.
I remember being probably 4 years old and taking swimmers. But, yeah, I've struggled in a wave pool and it's been really well.
Right.
So, okay, let's talk about what we do about the non-swimmers in our family.
Well, the very first thing is prevention. You know, if we're going to be in a lakeside situation, our rule is, unless you are certified as a swimmer, we have our own certification process, unless you're approved as a swimmer, you have got to be wearing a life preserver when you go away from the house, when you get anywhere close to the water.
Yes. In fact, when we're at the lake, if you're outside the house at all, you better be wearing a life jacket that can hold you up in the water or you're in big trouble with me.
And, you know, it's really easy if you start when they're toddlers, and that's just the expectation.
And when you got at the beach, too.
Yeah. And so that's our first rule is the prevention. You know, make sure that that little person has got on some sort of life jacket, a ski vest, or...
Yeah, it doesn't have to be super uncomfortable. They make comfortable life vests now.
Yeah.
You can buy them at the local discount store.
Yeah.
But it's going to be hot. It's going to be a little uncomfortable. That's the motivation to learn to go ahead and learn to swim now.
Well, and so that comes to the next part.
But the reason I want to do that, though, is
because
it doesn't take but a second. You know, a child goes outside and they reach to get something in the water and they're in. You've got to make sure that they know you don't leave that house without a life jacket on when you're near the water.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you can swim and swim well.
Right.
Yeah, that's one thing we've done is we make sure that our children can swim well. You know, if we're in a pool or something and I'm holding on to them, yeah, I'll take their life jacket off and help them practice.
Yeah.
But if they're in the lake where I can't see them if they do one night, they're going to wear the life jacket.
Yeah.
So let me tell you about my swim test.
Yeah, now when do we start actually teaching them to swim?
It depends on the child. You know, some of them very young have said, teach me to swim, teach me to swim. Others have been panicked till they were probably 8 or 9. I don't know if we've had anybody go past 9, probably 8 was the latest that we've had somebody really learn to swim well.
I think I was 8 or 9 before. I was a kind of scary kid.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't learn right away. I think I was probably about 8 before I learned to swim, really. But, you know, and so we start them pretty early. And we have
most
a simple.
Most of them have probably learned around.
Yeah, and we have a very simple test. The place we live has a dock. It's about 50 feet away from the shore, at the far end.
My rule is you have to be able to swim without any help and without touching bottom from the end of the dock all the way into shore.
What?
You also have to be able to tread water for 10 minutes. And that sounds like a very long time, and it is. But, you know, if you're on a boat and you fall in and you slip out of your life jacket out in the middle of the lake, you don't get a boat in your house without a life jacket, whether you can swim or not.
Yeah.
But if something happens, your life jacket's not sufficient, it may take 10 minutes for somebody to get to you.
Or 10 minutes for you to get your life jacket back into position somewhere.
Right.
It'll take you a few minutes. So, yeah, that 10 minutes is a good for you. And that's really a basically saying, let's pretend you fell off the dock or that you got pushed off the dock. What are you going to do?
They have to be able to float on their back
mm-hmm.
for several minutes unsupported, float on their front. Of course, they're going to learn to do it as they swim.
Yeah.
And like I said, they have to swim all the way in the shore. And one way, our kids are really tall and the shore kind of shallow. So one thing we've done with them is they have to swim from one dock to the next.
Yeah.
The neighbor's dog.
Okay.
And that's probably what, 100?
Maybe 75 to 100 feet.
I think probably 100 feet.
You think? Okay.
Yeah. And if you can do those things, you can pretty much keep yourself safe in the water.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have, you know, sometimes they have to take the test several times. Sometimes they have to wait several months to practice some more. But I feel confident that if they have passed that test and they understand safety in the water, we talk about you don't ever dive into dark water.
No, you don't dive.
Well, you know, I had a great uncle that died by that.
Yeah.
You don't ever dive in dark water because you don't know what's under the water.
And things change. You know, things move around the bottom. You've got other people using the lake, and they drop stuff in the water, like, you know, people using concrete blocks for anchors, and sometimes they lose them. You never know. So.
And I just want to say why I think this is so important. Because I remember one, was it 4th of July?
Mm-hmm.
We were all out on the dock watching the fireworks down Sailing Cross.
Mm-hmm.
We were all dry.
We were in daytime clothes watching the fireworks. We were talking about the revolution, about the Declaration of Independence or something. And suddenly, the dock just sort of collapsed. It's like one of the supporting posts slipped. I don't know precisely what happened, but one whole end of the dock just settled down into the water, and we were all in the drink.
And it was nighttime.
It was nighttime, and all these small children. We had infants in arms.
I was so thankful everybody had a life jacket on, even the baby.
And, you know, we clambered out on the remains of the dock, but, yeah.
It shook.
it was an adventure.
Your kids.
Right.
But, you know, there's some other issues, too. So we talked about in a lake, you have to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
If you are in a boat away from
right.
shore, even if you can swim well, you need to wear a life jacket. Why is that? You might get hit in the head by the boat if it flips over.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, you might be struck by another boat and be unconscious.
Right.
You know, you've got to have a life jacket on. Dive in dark water.
You don't go swimming alone.
Never, ever.
You know, that's a nice thing with our large family. You have to really work to go swimming alone. It doesn't happen very often, even if you wanted it to.
Well, even if you did, the dog would probably go.
Yeah, we have a Labrador Retriever who likes to swim figure eights around all of the people in the water. That's actually a comfort, too.
Yeah.
But, a lot of these things are just common sense. But, you know, people don't run the kind of public service announcements they used to when we were children. I can still hear, I still have this YMCA jingle running around in my head that I used to hear on Saturday morning when I was about 6 years old. And, you know, the whole thing about never swimming alone, never going out in the water, diving where you can't see it. So all of those things, you just need to keep those in mind, teach them to your kids, and love your kids enough to hold them to account.
Yeah. You know, they may not want to learn to swim, but you're not going to always be with them. And there's a huge temptation. If you're with a whole crowd and they want to go out on a boat, there's a huge temptation to go even if you can't swim. And in my opinion, you need to stay completely away from the water if you can't swim unless you're wearing a life jacket.
Yeah. Now, I'm looking at the clock, and we have a couple more things we need to talk about.
But there's one more thing I want to talk about.
Before the break.
1 second?
Certainly.
Okay. One other thing is if you're jumping in the warm water particularly, then you need to make sure that you hold your nose.
Now, why is that?
Because the water can be forced up your nose into your sinuses.
Well, of course it is.
And and if there is dangerous bacteria in the water, which sometimes grow when the water is warm,
mm-hmm.
you don't want it thrust up there and mixed to your brain.
Okay, so you're saying there's a biological reason
yeah.
that you want to hold your nose when you're jumping into warm water.
Now, I was taught it's kind of wimpy to hold your nose
uh-huh.
when you jump in the water. But when I'm in a lake, I hold my nose when I jump in the water.
I think a sinus infection is not wimpy.
Well, it can be a lot worse than a sinus infection.
Right.
Another thing is when you get out of the water
yes.
and you've been swimming, particularly in warm, fresh water,
uh-huh.
is to put a few drops of a mixture of half alcohol and half vinegar in your ears.
Okay, and that will...
It'll prevent swimmer's ear.
That will help prevent ear infections, yes.
And
yes.
swimmer's ear is an infection of the outer part of your ear. And I'm not a doctor, but this is what we do. And it works really well. And if we forget it, we know it.
Yeah, don't leave you.
Okay, yeah. Now you can stop.
Okay, well, we'll take a short break to talk about other things here. But we have a couple more things we need to talk about water safety. And then our special thing we want to share with you, too.
Okay.
So, first off, this weekend, this is it's Memorial Day now, so the weekend after Memorial Day, we are going to be at the Teach Them Diligently Conference in Sandusky, Ohio.
Yes.
So if you are anywhere in the near Midwest, the eastern Midwest, I don't know how they categorize that.
I have no idea.
Okay, northern Ohio, Michigan, all of that area up there. We are going to be at the Kalahari Resort, I think they call it, Kalahari Water Park in Sandusky, Ohio. That'll be Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And we are speaking 7 times this weekend and looking forward to it. This ought to be a great event.
Yeah, then in June, we're going to be at the HEAV Conference in Richmond, Virginia, and Ocean Network in Portland, Oregon.
Yep.
And we're also about to start a new season of Family Business Greenhouse. So if you've been wanting to start a family business, you want everyone to be working together for a change,
mm-hmm.
getting off the corporate treadmill.
Or maybe you're looking for something you can do as a business elective for your high schoolers.
Yes.
Yeah, you can do that too. Give credit for it.
Oh, boy.
Because I tell you what, the instructor is a college instructor who has taught entrepreneurship for over 17 years. And she and her husband have literally helped thousands of people understand how to start a business, how to keep a business going, and best of all, how to avoid losing your shirt in the process.
That's right.
So if you want more information on that, go to familybusinessgreenhouse.com, and you can read all about the program there. And we will be starting it up very soon, date to be announced.
Okay? Great.
So if you're just joining us, we are talking about safety going into summertime. We've been talking about water safety, and there's just a couple of things. I was reading in the news today that on the coast of Florida, just in the past few days, they have rescued over 400 people. 2 people have died due to rip currents offshore at the beach.
You know, rip currents, if you know just a handful of things, you don't have to fear rip currents.
What we mean by rip currents, basically an undertow or an outward flowing current that will tend to pull you away from the beach and pull you out toward the open water.
They can be very fast, too, and they can pull you out fast.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be very alarming if you're not a confident swimmer. Now, like I said earlier, if you're not a confident swimmer, you better be wearing a life jacket.
But even so, if you're even wearing a life jacket, it's a pretty frightening thing to feel like I'm being swept out to Portugal.
That's right.
So,
okay, so what to look for with a rip current?
Mm-hmm.
If you look out at the beach, you're going to see a line of breakers, the white walk,
right,
where the waves are coming into shore,
yeah,
and the point where they break, where they go over the top.
Yeah, the part where they're all tending to turn white.
Right,
yeah,
is where it turns white. If you see a part between 2 white lines,
yes,
that has no white, mm-hmm, that's almost certainly a rip current.
Yeah. And one thing to remember about rip currents is that they tend to be narrow.
Yeah.
Okay, they don't stretch for miles along the beach. They'll be like a narrow band of this outward flowing current. Okay, so this is your clue. If you get caught in this thing,
if you suddenly notice things are getting smaller,
yeah, don't try to swim back to shore. Instead, swim along the beach, you know, parallel to the beach,
yeah,
like you're going up or down the beach, not trying to get back to shore right away, because that will tend to take you out of the rip current into the water that's flowing in with the normal tide.
And if you get, and once you get in with the water that's breaking in, it'll carry you in. And you don't have to worry anymore. This is really important because it's common for people who are uncomfortable in the water, mm-hmm, to actually gravitate toward these areas of rip current because the waves are scaring them.
So because they look calmer.
They look calmer. Really, it's very dangerous, especially if you're not a strong swimmer. In fact, 2 members of a family that are close friends with friends of ours, mm-hmm, died last year because of rip current.
Wow.
And
so that's if you're at the beach. You don't have rip currents at the creek, but you do have, yeah, you do have to worry about these things at the beach.
And that's what we've heard when I was at the farm, rip tide.
Mm-hmm.
So watch out for those areas of dark water in between the line of breakers.
Right.
Okay.
That could be tough.
And it's perpendicular to the beach. It pulls you out away from the beach. Swim parallel to the beach until you get hit by breakers and they'll bring you in.
And you know, if you're in public beaches where they have people that watch this kind of thing, you know what? Pay attention to the red flags. They're not there to be spoil sports. They're really, they're trying to keep you out of trouble. And if they're saying it's too rough to swim, trust them. Okay. Now, another thing
about beaches,
yeah,
safety issues with beaches, is it's best to swim in the middle of the day because animals see typically in the early morning, early evening.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so if it worries you that there may be predatory animals in the water,
right,
you can avoid them usually if you swim in the middle of the day.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. Now, something you have to be concerned about at the pool, at the lake, at the river, at the beach, whatever, is drowning. You know, the old cartoons show people bobbing up and down and screaming for help, and guess what? That's not what a real drowning looks like.
No, and this is really scary. Drowning is very silent.
Mm-hmm.
Because when someone's drowning, they go into an instinctual reflex. They stick their arms out straight and they kind of press their hands down to try to lift them out of the water enough to breathe.
Yeah.
Their heads tilt back, the mouth opens. Usually they don't appear above the water long enough to take in a breath.
Mm.
And so you just see the mouth come up and then they go back down. And it's very quiet. Usually if somebody's yelling, they may be having aquatic distress.
They may be having a cramp or something, may have a problem, but.
Yeah, it does help them, but when you just see somebody quiet, especially if their eyes look glassy, mouths are open, go help them immediately. Mm-hmm. Ask them, are you okay? If they can answer, they probably are. If they can't answer, it's an emergency. You may have only seconds to rescue them.
You know, one of our son's friends a few years ago died in the drowning incident. And I'm sure it was a similar situation. It was a bunch of teenagers that were out swimming together. It seemed like a safe activity, but he got into some kind of distress and just disappeared.
Yeah.
You know, there was no cry for help. There was no struggle in the water. He just disappeared.
And so those
things happen.
So you need to keep your eyes on the kids
when
they're in the water. And this is one reason why it's so important that if they're out swimming in a group of kids, that they are strong swimmers.
Yeah.
And make sure that everyone knows what drowning looks like.
Mm-hmm.
So usually people are vertical in the water.
Yeah.
Their legs are still. They're not trying to use their legs to get above water. They press their hands down, like to try to lift themselves up.
Okay. Well, we've spoken a lot about water saving.
Yeah, we're almost. Should we do a part two next week, or should we go ahead and talk about this now?
You know what? Why don't we do a part two next week? Because I think there's enough to talk about. Because it was really eye opening to me, you know. It was one of those things you feel like the scenery has shifted, the game has changed.
Yeah.
Something that I just assumed would be, you know, something normal, something that's not a problem. It's just an irritation at best. Suddenly we find out is actually kind of dangerous and has some pretty serious effects. And we want to share that with you, but we want to take enough time to really do it justice. So
yeah.
I think maybe we'll save that for next week. We'll talk about another episode of summertime safety issues away from the water, on the dry land.
Yeah, just a couple more thoughts about the water.
Mm-hmm.
If you take it seriously and you learn how to swim well, being in the water is so much fun in the summer. It's a great way to be cool. It's a great way to get exercise. Our children have had a blast swimming and kayaking and boating, and, you know, they built their own boat.
Yeah, we have built, three boats now.
Yeah.
Just built it from plywood and some very simple plans that we found online. And great activities, great memories we've got there. If you've gone out to our website, I know you've seen pictures of some of our boating exploits. And these are all things that just make for great memories that you can take away for years afterwards. So, you know, don't be afraid of the water. Respect it.
Just take some simple precautions and make sure that you can't swim, get a life jacket on. That's the rule in our house. If I catch you outside without a life jacket and you haven't passed mama's swim test, you're
mm-hmm.
in big trouble.
Okay.
And make sure they're strong swimmers
mm-hmm.
and enjoy it. You know, it's so much fun. We have basic safety rules. Our kids have a great time in the water. We did.
Of course we did.
Like, I loved it. Last year, they took a whole flotilla of ships we made and took them way out to an island out in the middle of the lake. It was so much fun.
Hey, now here's one thing that's related to the water.
Okay.
And we'll also kind of tie in what we're going to be talking about next week. And that is, be aware that some prescription medications can make you highly sensitive to the sun.
Oh, dear. So true.
That is, wow. I've always heard that. I've never really experienced it. But there are some not uncommon medications that they say, you know, stay out of the sunlight. You had a near miss with this thing just a few months ago. Actually, it was in January.
It was in January. That's how I got caught, because I wasn't thinking sun in January. We were speaking Florida.
We were in Florida. We were near Tampa. And
we'd gone down to see the manatees.
Right.
And, you know, the water reflects the sunlight. So if you're going to get burned, you're going to get burned worse if you're around the water.
Right.
And we're just walking around for maybe 15 or 20 minutes, and suddenly I felt like I was being sunburned.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, that's the last time.
It's not even hot.
Yeah, it was cool, pleasant.
Yeah.
And he looked at me and said, oh, my word, you are. And I suddenly remembered that medicine I was on.
Mm-hmm.
But I got burned really badly. You know, nothing better than aloe if you get burned. But I got burned really badly, and it just in a few minutes, so be careful. Make sure you can handle the sun.
Again, take it seriously.
I love those spray on sunscreen. I can sunscreen our whole family in the time it used to take me to sunscreen one tip.
I remember that. Yeah. I remember when it all came in the tube.
Oh, it was so horrible.
It was like greasing a turkey for Christmas. You know, you just have to smear that lard all over yourself and all this stuff. The clear stuff, the spray on stuff is so much better now. But
it actually stays on in the water better too, right now.
Yeah.
You know what else?
What?
Those dining canopies like people buy for football
games
or tailgating
or
for camping are great on the beach.
If you haven't found that out already.
Yeah, if you haven't found that out already, that's a great place to set up and protect those resources, the sun and the little kids,
mm-hmm.
from being out in the sun and making them play in the sand and everything without getting sunburned.
That's true. And, you know, most of them you can change the height of the legs. You don't have to make it 8 feet tall in the center. You can make it short, and you can kind of hide under your shade there and be in the shade but still get the breeze and still be protected.
Yeah, when we go to the beach, we really go in there. What I love to do is take a wagon so you don't have to pull it all.
Yeah.
My dining canopy, one of the 5 gallon water coolers, and we get out there and we spend a long time and have a great time.
Yeah, but it looks like we're coming up on our time here. Is anything further before we sign off for this episode? I guess if you'll join us again next week, we'll do a second episode on summertime safety, and this will not have a beach bucket, I feel sure. This will have something else on it. But at any rate, we do appreciate you joining us, you know. As we get out and enjoy God's creation, this is part of a biblical family life, recognizing that God created a beautiful world, that even with sin and failure all around us, that there is still beauty, there's still refreshment and enjoyment, and there's things we can rejoice in. And so we hope that you're rejoicing in the beauty of God's created order this summer, and we hope that you are going to be joining us again at your convenience as we invite you to make biblical family life practical in your home. Okay? So, we'll be joining you. I think I'm on your computer.
I don't have a touch screen, baby.
No, I don't. So, I'll just use my old-fashioned pointer. How's that? And so, thank you again. We will see you again next Monday at 9. Hope you'll join us again.
See you later, folks.
Bye-bye now.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HalandMelanie.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook/HalandMelanie or Facebook.com/RaisingRealMen. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.
The moderator has left the conference.